Well, we're glad you're here tonight. You glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. Well, we want to wish Pastor McPherson a happy birthday today. Pastor, are you here? There you are. All right, does anybody know how old he is? Wow, 73 today. Happy birthday, Pastor McPherson. Ever since he mentioned others' birthdays, we have to mention his. So let's stand and worship the Lord together. Let's sing about the cross at Calvary.
Carrying on, my Lord was Amen. We're celebrating the Lord's Last Supper, the Lord's table this evening. We think about the love that God had for us, that Jesus has for us. I was thinking about Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You know, that's the description of our lives before Christ. That's the description of who we were as sinners before we were found, but when we were lost. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," aren't you glad that God is rich? Never ending. You'll never run out of God's mercy. "For his great love," and that's what we're going to be singing about next, "his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." And many of us know verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Aren't you glad that even as a sinner, Jesus loves you? Even tonight, you know, I know this is our Sunday night crowd, but if you are lost, if you're in opposition, if you live in rebellion to God, even at this very moment, he loves you. At this very moment, he's calling you to repentance, calling you to salvation. What a night, celebrating the Lord's table, if tonight was the night of your salvation. And I just pray, my prayer tonight is going to be that God would convict you, the Holy Spirit would convict you to a point that it's irresistible, that you can't fight it any longer, and that you will get that settled tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, we do love you. God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that you would love us enough that even in our sin, God, that you would die on the cross and cover or pay the price for that sin. God, I do pray for anyone here tonight that's not saved, that hasn't come to you for forgiveness. God, that the Holy Spirit would convict them and that they would get that settled tonight. God, I do pray for our offerings that are coming in. God, I pray that you'd use that for the furtherance of your ministry here. Help us to be wise stewards and that we would worship you with these offerings as well. We just pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Throne. deep, deep love of Jesus far surpassing all the rest. It's an ocean full of blessing in the midst of every test. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, mighty Savior, precious friend. You will bring us home to glory, where your love will never end. Oh, the deep, deep love, all I need and trust is the deep, deep love of Jesus. Oh, the deep,
I just want to make a quick announcement. I don't normally do that at this time, but I'd like to dismiss from the Lord's table without much happening after. And so just let me remind you, tonight's the last opportunity to sign up for our anniversary banquet. That's on Saturday night at 6 p.m., all right? So please sign up for that and let us know that you're coming. We are having it catered this year, so we need a firm number as of tomorrow. We need to call them and let them know exactly how many are coming. And the suggested cost is $10, but don't let that hinder you from coming. We want you to come. It's a full roast beef dinner with all the trimmings. And so we hope that that's a help to you or a blessing to you anyway. And if you would like to leave a tip, we're going to have all the young people serve it from the academy. And they save up every year for a class trip at the end of the year. And so that will go to the senior class trip. If you leave a tip on the table, we'll take the $10 at the door. There'll be a box there. But if you anything you leave on the table will go to the senior class trip this year in thanks to the young people that will help serve and clean up and do all the rest, all right? Let's stand and sing again. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Men who are serving the Lord's table, if you would come tonight as we sing. Saved by the blood. Amen. You may be seated. Well, tonight we're here to remember the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his broken body and his shed blood. All that happened when he was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. I want you to listen as the Baker family sings High and Lifted Up.
To me. So as Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, so high and lifted up must Jesus be. See him on the cross, his eyes of love, looking down on all who stood and watched his shame, as they mocked him and they scourged him. God turned his eyes away, while high and lifted up he took the blame. High and lifted up the loving Savior, high and lifted up for all to see. Reconciled to God and man forever, high and lifted up on Calvary. Jesus said, I'll surely come again, that wherever I may be, will be near. So I'm looking toward the heaven, up to the eastern sky, where high and lifted up he shall appear. There to meet a bride adorned and waiting, as all of heaven's angels start to sing. Never more to be a lowly man of Galilee, as high and lifted up we see the King. High and lifted up in all his glory, high and lifted up in robes of white,
let's take our Bibles, please, turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 tonight. And as I've been doing all this year, we've just been taking one thing and talking about that at the Lord's table and different elements, sometimes once the bread, once the cup, his blood, his body. Tonight I want to talk about his time in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark chapter 14, it falls right in line with our study through the book of Mark this year. And so we'll just take these few verses 32 to 42. Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. Read with me. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. If you'll jump back to verse 26, you'll notice that as they left the Last Supper, if you will, the Lord's table, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I was privileged to teach a Sunday school class this morning. We were talking about the Mount of Olives a little bit and the Garden of Gethsemane in relation to it. The Mount of Olives sits adjacent to the city of Jerusalem. And from there, you can see the Dome of the Rock, and you can see the Temple Mount, and you can see all the white sepulchers. Remember that, Paul? It overwhelmed me to see all the, as Jesus would preach on those hillsides and talk about the whited sepulchers, but full of dead men's bones. The Bible came to life as we pictured all of that. But as you travel just down a little bit, a path from the Mount of Olives, you come to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was also olive trees. Gethsemane is just simply an oil press. There are lots of Garden Gethsemanes in Israel, actually. But the one that Jesus most famously referred to was this one here that he would retreat to and pray. And they still have an olive press there, I suppose, for demonstration for tourists and such. And a large press that would press out the olives and make olive oil. But it was there that the Lord Jesus Christ would retreat and spend time in prayer. And so the Bible says that he went from this place called the Mount of Olives, and no doubt, once again, viewing Jerusalem, representative of the people of Israel, seeing the Temple Mount, knowing that's where the very presence of his Father met with his people. And there he traveled down a short path, and the Bible says, and they came to a place, verse 32, which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. He saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he had returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now. And take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Let's pray together. Father, help us, Lord, we pray. And Father, speak to our hearts in these just few moments before we take of these elements tonight to remind us of what Christ has done for us. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be full of those thoughts even now. Father, for that is the purpose of this table, to gather in your presence, to remember your sacrifice, and Lord, to give thanks for all that you have done for us. And so bless us, we pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could, for just a few moments, I'd like to look at this snapshot, if you will. If we were to read a little bit further, we'd find that Judas would enter the garden and he would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was last month's lesson as we looked at the Lord's table, his betrayal. But I want you to think for a few moments tonight as we talk about the Lord coming to Gethsemane. Gethsemane was his favorite place to pray. I feel probably because since we were there, we noticed that you can see the city of Jerusalem, and especially the Temple Mount. It was there that the Lord Jesus Christ would perform his greatest ministry, of course, dying on the cross of Calvary. And so from the Mount of Olives, he could pray for his people Israel. And he could pray for those that he loved so deeply and wanted to save. And so there he would retreat. There's another place, I believe it's in John chapter 8, and I believe it's just John chapter 8, verse 1, where just in passing it says, and he retreated to the garden for the evening. In the midst of a busy time of ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ would just slip off to the garden to pray. It doesn't say that he prayed, but we know that's why he went there. was to get alone with his father and to spend some time with God. And so we can learn from some of those things tonight. So I want you to notice in Mark chapter 14, we're just going to notice three things. First of all, I want you to notice his prayer. Notice his prayer, and we'll just make some short comments about these first two points, and then we'll talk about the third a little bit more in depth. But as we think about his prayer, we notice, first of all, the solitude. In verse 30, I got my page turned here. In verse 31, I believe, I'm mixed up here. Verse 31, or verse 32, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, notice what he says, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And then he saith unto them, verse 34, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went a little forward a little, and fell on the ground and prayed that it were possible the hour might pass from him. You know, a lot is to be said about gathering together for prayer, and we enjoy doing that, don't we? Just a week or so ago, we had a men's prayer breakfast, and we gather here on Saturday nights and pray, and on Wednesday nights and pray, and the men have a prayer group on Fridays, and different times throughout the week, people gather together to pray. But the Lord said there's a time also when we need to be alone. And he brought the 12 to the garden with him, but he asked 9 of them to sit and wait. 3 more would go a little bit further, and he says, now you sit here and watch. And the Bible says he went a little bit further in the garden, and he fell upon his face, and he prayed to the Father. The Bible says he cried out, Abba, Father. That's a very personal term. Abba is the word like daddy. It's a term of endearment. It's a personal term. You know, everybody has those personal things, don't they? Especially for grandparents, I'm finding. And so we have a grandson, Bowden, and his mom is my wife is grandma, and I'm grandpa, but on the other side, it's Ukrainian. So it's, is it Baba? Baba? And what's Gido and Baba, okay. And so there's different names, isn't there? My parents were always Nana and Papa to our kids. And so we have different names for different people. So there's a term of endearment. There's a personality that comes out in that, and it's very personal. And so as Jesus came to his father and said, Abba, Father, that was not for the 13 of them together. It was for just the one, that the Lord Jesus Christ would have that personal time. But as I thought further about that, nobody else in that group knew what Jesus was going through. He had told them many times that he would go to Jerusalem and die, but they couldn't have possibly grasped the suffering he was about to partake in. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until he rose from the dead that the Bible says that they all of a sudden the light came on and they understood what he said. And so they couldn't have possibly prayed effectively. They might have prayed something like, Lord, or Father, help Jesus Christ through this hour. Help him to go through this time. We know that one will betray and we know another will deny, but we don't really understand exactly what's going on this night. So just give them grace. Isn't that how we often pray? Lord, we pray for your mercy upon them. We pray for your grace. And perhaps they would have prayed something like that, but only Jesus knew the severity of the night. And so he wanted to be alone with his father and prayed in solitude. You know, it's wonderful, and I just take this short principle, it's wonderful to share prayer requests. The Bible says bear one another's burden, but can I encourage you, if God burdens you about something, nobody will pray about it like you will. True. So take it to the Lord. The Bible says he was burdened. And then we see not only his solitude, we see his surrender in prayer. In verse 36, the scripture says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt. I would suggest to you that every single time we pray, it ought to be from a position of surrender. It's from a position of surrender. We are like the enemy combatant on our knees begging for mercy. Help us. We throw ourselves at your feet. With our hat in hand, we have nothing to offer. And so here's what I would ask for, and here's what I would plead for, and here's what I would beg for, but I'm at your mercy. Amen. And I'll take whatever you give me. And the Lord Jesus Christ prayed just that, didn't he? He made his heart known unto his Father that if it were possible to let this cup pass from him and let this hour go away, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. be done. We should always pray from a place of surrender. But then we see, secondly, not just his prayer, I want you to see his persistence. In verse 41, it says, he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough, the hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed under the hands of sinners. If we were to rehash the scriptures, we would find the Lord Jesus Christ went into the garden to pray and returned and found the disciples sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he went off a second time and he prayed again. And when he came back, he found them sleeping again. And so he went away the third time and he prayed the same words, it says. But three times it impresses upon my heart that he went and kept praying for the same thing. And the Bible says he used the same words. He prayed the same thing over. I wonder sometimes how often we just pray and just let it go. We pray once or twice. There are times where we need to learn how to pray and just give things to God. But then there's also times we need to pray through a situation. And this is certainly one of those situations Jesus wanted to pray through. And so again and again, he would ask the Lord. I don't know about you, but to me, it makes his plight a little more pitiful to think that he went back three times and begged his Father, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. Please take this hour from me. Please take this hour from me. Please take this hour from me. And each time his Father in heaven, with broken heart, listening to the pleas of his Son, and yet thankful that he would say, I surrender to whatever your will is. So we see his persistence. But I want you to notice tonight, and what we're focusing on for a few moments, is his passion. His passion. You know, we often consider his passion as the physical stress placed upon his body, don't we? If we were to, years ago they made a movie, I've never seen the movie, called The Passion of the Christ. And I hear it's a horrific scene. That it's a brutal depiction of what happened to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know much about the movie. I understand it's very Catholic in some of its doctrines and things. But we've all seen those pictures of Christ, haven't we? We've all seen the images of the crucifixion. We've had I've shared a video in church where a medical doctor tries to explain the different parts of the crucifixion and what happens during suffocation and the blood draining from the body and the insanguination and all the rest and the pain and the anguish that it covers. And we often think about the passion of Christ from the moment he felt the first whip. But I want to suggest to you that his passion started long before that. It started in the garden. And in the argument could be made, it started even before that. Perhaps it started the first time Jesus Christ as man became aware that he was headed to a cross. But the Bible says, if you'll notice, just three phrases with me. In verse 33, it says, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed. Sore amazed. Now, I understand that the Bible we have in our hands tonight is some 412 years old. And so sore amazed might mean something a little bit different back then than it does now. When I use the word amazed, I often think of something that just astounds me. You know, I've seen some things in this life that I would say are amazing. Niagara Falls is the amazing handiwork of God. And we see things all the time that are just incredible to see, and they make us stand in awe, if you will. The word sore amazed in the scriptures here literally means thrown into terror. Thrown into terror. You think about that. He said, well, come on, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't afraid, was he? Why not? There was times he was heartbroken. There was times he sorrowed at the tomb of Lazarus. We like to think of Jesus as 100% God, and he was, but he was also 100% man.
Yes.
And if you were facing what he faced, you'd be terrified too.
Absolutely.
If the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't afraid of what was about to happen, he would have never come to this place and asked for strength. He would have never asked for it to be removed from him in the first place. If it was something that is as simple as a trip to the doctor or a trip to the dentist, he would have just simply said, Lord, take care of me, and on he would have went. But the Bible says he fell upon his face and he laid there on the ground prostrate before God three different times. And the Bible says he was sore amazed, or he was thrown into terror. Luke chapter 22, verse 44 puts it this way, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You think you had a stressful day. Nobody was as stressed as the Lord Jesus Christ on that moment, as he was sore amazed. Then the scripture says in that very same verse, he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. I use that phrase sometimes, heavy. And what I mean by that is I find that sometimes before I preach, I get a heavy feeling. I don't know what that is. It's just, there's kind of a responsibility thing that comes up on, and I just feel heavy in my spirit. I just feel like I don't want to let the Lord down, and I need to pray about this more, and I need to, you know, I always say a sermon's never ready until you preach it. Because it feels like you're always thinking, and you're seeing the crowd, and you're praying, and you're reading the scriptures, and sometimes the Lord is dealing with your heart, and I feel heavy, but I'll never think that way again after I see how the Lord used it. The heaviness of spirit that we feel, or the heaviness of sorrow that we feel, is nothing compared to what the Lord felt when he said, I am very heavy. It means literally to be in great distress or anguish. Distress or anguish. I tried to find out a little bit more about the word anguish. We don't use that word a lot anymore. We might say, well, I feel sorrow. I feel grief. I looked up the word anguish, and literally in the English language, it is the strongest word we can use for a distraught spirit. To say you're sorrowful means maybe you're heartbroken or you're grieving. To say you have grief means that you're suffering some sort of pain. But to say you have anguish means that you are leaning even unto death. That the burden is too great to bear. So when the Lord said, I'm sore amazed and I'm very heavy, it meant that he had a great anguish placed upon him that night. And then we see one more in verse 34, the next verse. And he saith unto them, this is before he goes to pray, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Now we take it another step. The phrase exceeding sorrowful in the Greek literally means overcome with sorrow so much as to cause one's death. Did you know that you can be in such a place of despair you can literally die from it? That's what this word means. And the scripture says so much, doesn't it, in verse 34? It tells us, he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. He wasn't speaking of the death that he would suffer in a few hours. He was speaking about that moment of sorrow. I mean, he was sweating blood. The very capillaries in his forehead were bursting. He was in so much anguish and coming out with sweat drops of blood. And he says, even so, that he is sorrowful unto death. You ever heard the expression, they died of a broken heart? That's literally what this is. It's a known scientific thing that takes place every once in a while. Years ago, we had a couple in our church, and Pat Mapafu and his wife, and they were working in, he was a diesel mechanic and she was a PSW. And she would, they were from Zimbabwe, Africa. And Pat was the short name. I can't even say the long name. Pat was just the middle three letters of a name about that long. And so she was serving as PSW, and she had a couple folks that she would go and sit with at night and take care of. And I believe she was 101 years old, and I believe he was 102. Is that right, hon? Do you remember these folks? So she was 101 and she was 102. She died on a Sunday night And he died 8 hours later. And everybody said they died of a broken heart. They were living at home. They were relatively healthy for their age. And just hours after she passed away, with such sorrow, he died. Having been married almost 80 years. Incredible. But that's a real thing. It's very rare. But the Lord Jesus Christ said that night, it was almost like he was saying, if I don't go talk to my Father right now, I'm going to die from the sorrow that I'm under. I have to give this burden to God. I have to share it with him. So as we think about his passion tonight, his suffering, it doesn't start with Calvary. It doesn't start with the whips. It starts just with the heaviness and the sorrow of his heart. I often wonder, and I'll just throw this out there, and you can think about it, and you can decide what you want. What was the greatest point of suffering? I think when his father said, I can't look upon it. Because he bore my sin, he said, my father, why hast thou forsaken me? But I wonder, maybe you have a different answer, but whatever it is, would you think about that tonight as we come to the Lord's table? Let's bow our heads and ask God to bless this time together, that he might move in our hearts and that he might be honored by our remembrance of him. Pastor Paul, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we're so thankful to you, Lord, for what you did for us, Lord. Lord, we have no idea how much you suffered in Gethsemane. Your blood was being poured out already, Lord. In agony for us, Lord. Father, we're thankful for this group of people here today, Lord. Thank thee, Lord, for some children that were saved in junior church this morning, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd continue to work a mighty work in our midst, Lord. Forgive me for sin, Lord. Lord, when we look in the scriptures and see you, Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Thank thee for the broken body, Lord. Thank thee for the blood that was spilt for us. Help us, Lord, to remember your death till you come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, let every man examine himself. So let's take a few moments and examine our hearts before a holy God.
Can't help but think, Lord, that in the Garden of Eden, that your one command, that if they ate of that tree, they would surely die. You knew, Lord, when you gave that command, that you would be the one that died. That it would be you that would go to pay for our sins. And you knew, being God, how painful the cross would be. But you also knew that moment when the Father would turn away from you, forsaken, when I should have been forsaken. You died for me and all of us, Lord, here today. I thank you for the Lord's Supper to remind us of this, for we need reminding. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to remember what you did on the cross of Calvary for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." They began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said unto them, "It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good word for that man had never been born." And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Eat all of it.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the body that you gave to die on the cross for our sins. Father, we are reminded tonight of the pain and suffering you went through. And Lord, as we just think about our Savior Jesus Christ and how thankful we are, Lord, we think about the blood and how he shed his blood for us. And Lord, we know because the Word of God tells us, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So Father, we are thankful. Just be here tonight and be able to remember these things and to bring honor and glory to our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. So bless us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Drink all of it. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that you've done for us. And we leave here tonight praising your holy name for your many blessings, but especially the cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed for our sins. Help us, Lord, to go through our week thinking often of it and giving you private praise each and every day. Help us, Lord, we pray, to have a great week serving you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder, next Sunday morning, everybody will meet in the auditorium at 9:45 a.m. for a Remembrance Day service, and then our anniversary services will follow at 10:30 and 5 p.m. Banquet at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. We hope to see you there. Please fill out a form before you go. Have a great day. Have a great week. God bless you.